Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for your word. Lord, your word is life to us. It is health and medicine to all our flesh. Your word is light to us. It transforms the way we think. Father, we just honor your word and we reverence your word. Lord, your word, you said you set it above your name. And so, Lord, it is our guide. It leads us and guides us into all truth and shows us direction and gives us direction, understanding on how to live in the resurrection that we have in Christ Jesus. So we're so thankful for it. Holy Spirit, you're our teacher. I ask you, teach us tonight. Give us understanding. Open the eyes of our understanding. Give us eyes that see and ears that hear and hearts that understand, and we will put into practice what we learn. We won't just be hearers, but we'll be doers of your word. And we know that as we're doers, then we're blessed in what we do. So we thank you for that. We thank you for your truth. We thank you for the help that we get from your word and the strength. It is spiritual food, and we receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so last week we were talking about the difference, well, that we are spirits, and we talked about in Philippians 1:23, Paul said, I am hard-pressed between two, having a desire to depart to be with Christ, which is far better. And he says, nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. So Paul separates his spirit from his flesh. Then let's look at another one, 2 Corinthians 4:16, if you want to go there. 2 Corinthians 4:16, we're dividing out the body, or the person, I guess, as it were, instead of the body. We're dividing out you as a person according to Scripture. Now, if you're just going to try and understand yourself through natural, through what the news tells you and through what psychology taught you and what your school taught you and all of that stuff, you're basically going to be boiled down to a mind and a pile of meat and bones. That's it. And two of them are right. It's just that they're missing a very critical one, which is spirit. So you have to be very careful because whenever you're learning something, if you're learning it from somebody who's an atheist or believes in evolution only, you're going to have that bent in everything they do. So they're not going to look at things from the standpoint of truth according to Scripture. They're going to look at it from the standpoint of science. In our world today, science is an idol. It's an idol. And yet, they talk about, we're in the age of supposed miracle drugs and stuff like that, and they talk about all these different things, yet there is so much they can't do. But what they try and do is tout and glorify what they can do. The reality of the fact is that there is a ton that they can't do and they don't know. And it will probably always be that way. I know I talked to a gentleman who's a pretty strong atheist. In fact, his hero passed away today. Stephen Hawking died today. So, and the world will say, oh, one of the greatest minds, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. The Bible says that he who doesn't believe in God is a fool. So, I don't care how much you think a person knows or is a quote-unquote genius or anything like that. If they don't believe in God, they're walking in darkness. And you can't have light without God, so it's darkness. They were talking about how they had hope in medical science that somehow their consciousness would be able to be put into a computer when they died. Like they're waiting for medical science to figure this out. So they can somehow go on, I guess. There was a movie made about it. I can't remember the name of the movie, but what was it? Oh, you're right. That's what it was. Transcendence. Yeah. It was weird. I did watch it. So I was like, this is... And then they decided at the end that it wasn't a great thing, and she ended up unplugging the computer on the brain, the consciousness, I guess. This guy's waiting for this. He's in his 60s. I'm like, dude, you're going to want to believe in Jesus soon. You're going to want to catch on to heaven here real quick because it's going to be disappointing if you don't. But anyway, so people that do, you don't want to, let me just say this. My kids are public schooled, okay? And some people think I'm unspiritual because of that, but I'm not. So, but anyway, they're public schooled. So, you know, like my son comes home and says, you know, Bill Nye the Science Guy is awesome. And then I just tear it apart. Because Bill Nye the Science Guy is not awesome. He is far from awesome. He's not even, he is one of the most perverted guys. If you start digging into him and what he believes, he is extremely perverted. And let me just help you with something. He has no degrees in science. So Bill Nye the Lying Guy is not cool. He may be entertaining, but he's not a science guy. He didn't know anything. He's a smart guy. He has some degree in something. I don't know what. But he's an intelligent man in the sense of he can gather information that's been given to him and share it. But that doesn't make him, you know, doesn't make him a genius, you know. He's just one of the ones that they plug in and use. There's another gentleman. What is his name? He's an African-American gentleman. He's the latest NASA guy that they're using. And I can't remember his name right now. But anyway, I was watching him. He's on Discovery Channel and different ones. He does things on like the late great planet Earth type stuff, you know, where they show all the amazing things in the Earth and talk about science and, you know, how it came about over billions of years. Which, by the way, I just received last week? The Genesis movie that what's his name put out. It was the 3D Genesis movie. It went into the theaters, but it's the story of creation based on a young Earth principle and the Bible. And all these guys are, you know, you talk about guys. One guy in there has four different degrees. He's a PhD and he's got four different degrees, and he's a Christian. You know, people think that if you get educated, you won't believe in God. Actually, if you're really educated, you'll believe in God. I mean, Einstein believed in God because he was smart. Because you don't look at design and go, that came from nothing. You know, if I said to you, this book fell out of the air and the colors fell in the right spot and the letters fell in the right spot and it sat for billions of years and somehow it became a book. Okay, it's foolishness. You don't look at anything that's put together and has a design and go, there's no designer. It's just random chance. It just doesn't make sense. I mean, it just does not make sense. But anyway, this gentleman was talking about science and how, and then he referenced Jesus in the Bible. The sad thing is there are a lot of Christians that would fall for this. I instantly refuted it. With not even with a lot of thought, and I don't even have half the degrees that guy does, you know. And he made the statement about epileptics and how today we understand the brain and how it works, but in Jesus' day they cast out a devil. Jesus cast out a devil because they didn't have science like we did, so they thought in their religious way, you know. And I quickly thought, well, genius, why haven't you cured epilepsy then? Because Jesus did. And it's happened since many times. So if you're so smart and you can see what happens in the brain, why don't you fix it? Because you can't. Because you're throwing out everything you need to fix. I mean, if they would take their science and seek God, he would help them. But they won't. You want to know why? Because they don't want God. They want to be God. So when it comes to spiritual things and understanding who you are, you need to understand that you are a spirit, you possess a soul, and you live in a body. You can't divide it up and separate it out. You got to be careful what you listen to. Or at the very least, at least know what you believe so that when something does come up that is opposite of what you believe, you're able to direct it a different way, you know what I mean? So it's just like the missing links. You ever notice they put them on the news and then they're gone? Do you know, look up all the missing links and you'll see that they've all been debunked. You know, like when they found the tooth, that was supposedly the link and it was just a pig's tooth. You know, do you know that they've found bones in Montana of dinosaurs that have soft tissue inside them? Soft tissue. Like they add a little water or a little solution to it, and they can stretch the blood vessels inside the bone. These are dinosaur bones. If they're billions of years old, yeah, they're not there. They disprove themselves over and over and over again. And it will always be that way. And now, that was in the 90s, guys. You're not going to hear about that on the news. No, it just doesn't work for them. So it doesn't fit the narrative. So you just got to be careful with that. But anyway, you are a spirit. And Paul separated these things out. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says this, "Therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." The inward, so what does Paul say here? You have an outward man and an inward man. And you are the inward man. You are not the tent that you live in. I know that we comb the tent's hair, we shave the tent's beard, we clothe the tent, which is all good. We should do that. We should deodorize the tent, brush the tent's teeth, you know, all that stuff. You need to do that, you know. You know, Brother Hagin said, if the barn needs painting, you paint it. If it needs two coats, you put two coats on it. You got to do what you got to do. You know what I mean? So to clean it up, you know, I've found through the years that the outward man grows more ear hair as it gets older. And when I was a kid, I thought, man, I want chest hair, but it turned into back hair and shoulder hair and everything else. I don't want that. my dad had no chest hair, so he had like four, so I don't know what happened with me, but anyway, but it's just the tent. It's just the tent. It's all it is, right? It's just the tent. If you don't clip the tent's toenails, it will come through your shoes eventually. Okay, so you got to watch that. You got to be aware. So here Paul expresses those two things. In the Passion Translation, it says, "So no wonder we don't give up, for even though our outward man is gradually wears out." Yep, it does. It does. "Our inner being is renewed every single day." Now, let me say this. I was listening to Brother Hagin the other day, and he was talking about, this was when I was listening to a series. He was 60 at the time. He lived to be 87. And he said, "I'm 60. I don't run like I did when I was 18. Do you know, we believe in divine healing, so we believe that God heals today. But there are some things with age in your body. It's not a sickness issue. It's just an age issue. You know, when Brother Hagin, when we finally got to school, he had hearing aids and he had glasses. You know, glasses is not a sickness, okay? You understand what I'm saying? The body just is older and it just doesn't do what it used to do. So when we talk about healing and stuff like that, we're believing for good working order. You know what I mean? Strong till the day you go on to be with the Lord. Able to function, you know what I mean? So just be aware of that, because sometimes the enemy will try and put people under condemnation with stuff. Or if you get a cold or the flu or something like that, people are like, "Oh, I don't want to tell anybody. You know, they believe in healing and I got sick." And, well, believe for healing. You know what I mean? Nobody's condemning anybody for anything, okay? You know, well, we went to the doctor. Praise the Lord. Go. Just be led. You know, I took medicine. Good. Praise the Lord. Just be led. Make sure you know that it's okay, you know. So we're not against any of that, so just so you know. Because I know there are people out there, there are ministries out there. In fact, we have some people in the church that used to be a part of a ministry, and they thought it was a sin to go to the doctor and take medicine. They thought it was witchcraft. Because there's a scripture, or there's a Greek word or Hebrew word, that pharmakeia is what it is. And they think any sort of medicine or anything is witchcraft. Well, Jesus had a doctor travel with him. Come on. Luke was a doctor. He had a doctor. Jesus wasn't like, no, pharmakeia, get away. You know what I mean? It's just a matter, there are some good things that medical science has, God has blessed us in some areas. There are other countries that wish they had the medical advancements we do. Okay, so that's okay with that. But your outward man gets older. That's just part of the process. So, therefore, in the Amplified, it says this: therefore, we do not become discouraged, utterly spiritless, exhausted, and wearied out through fear. Though our outward man is progressively decaying and wasting away, yet our inner self is being progressively renewed day by day. You are not getting any older in your spirit. You are maturing, but you're not getting older. It's a wonderful thing to begin to realize these things and to begin to understand them. When you start, as you're listening to these teachings, when you begin to understand that you're a spirit, when you read your Bible, it'll take on a whole new world. You'll be more aware that God is inside than you ever have before in your life. And as you do that, and this is what we're getting to, you will begin to be led by your spirit. Not even necessarily a voice, just a knowing on the inside of you. Lord, I just don't feel good about that. And it just doesn't seem right. Do you know what I mean? And when you do that, you'll learn how to listen to the Holy Spirit on little things all day long. There was a lady one time that I went and saw her in Tulsa. She was a minister. And she was very accurate in the word of knowledge and flowing with the Holy Spirit and able to minister to people. And somebody had asked her, you know, how did this start? She said, well, I just started taking walks with the Holy Spirit. And then I do laundry with the Holy Spirit. And she just started talking about going through her day, and she'd just say, Holy Spirit, I know you're here with me, because the Bible says that you were left for me as another comforter, so I'm going to go do the laundry. If you have anything you want to say to me, go ahead. And she just started out that way, and then she got to the point where she was just, the Lord put her into more of a full-time ministry where she'd minister to people, and she was very accurate in ministering to people. And it was impressive to watch, because you can be as close to God as you choose. There are no specials, you know what I mean by that? You decide, because it's faith. James put it this way: draw near unto him and he will draw near unto you. But who draws first? We do. Yeah, we draw first. God's already made his move. Jesus fulfilled it. It's done. We have to draw into him. So in the Mirror Bible, it says this: we have much reason to be brave. There might be a lot of wear and tear on the outside, but don't be distracted by that. I like that. Don't be distracted by that. On the inside, we are celebrating daily revival. Daily revival. 1 Peter 3:4. I know we looked at these, but we'll just go over them quick here. 1 Peter 3:4. Peter talks about the true man, the inner man. He said, rather let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. In the Amplified, it says, but let it be the inward adorning and beauty of the hidden person of the heart. The hidden person of the heart. That's 1 Peter 3:4. The hidden person of the heart. Spirit is hidden from the natural for the most part. We, the hidden man of the heart, is the part of us that no one can see or get to. Peter is referring to the spirit of man, the true us. Many places in the Bible, it speaks of our hearts, and this is speaking of our spirits, the real man. It will help you in believing and in your faith to think like that. Wherever you see the word heart in the New Testament, put the word spirit, and it will help you in your understanding of these truths. One last one is 2 Corinthians 5:17. And this is the part of you that's born again. This is one of my favorite verses. I go here a lot. But Paul said, therefore, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away, and all things have become new. And that is your spirit. It is the inward man that is made new in all things. The outward man does not change one bit. So, you know, we watched that video on that. If you had blonde hair before you were saved, you have blonde hair after. If you had blue eyes before, you have blue eyes after. If you were a male before, you're a male after. Amen. And so on and so forth. Okay? So your natural man doesn't change at all. God makes all things new in the spirit, but it is our responsibility. It is our responsibility. It is our responsibility. It is our responsibility to take care of the outward man, the body. God is not going to do anything with your body and mind. That is our responsibility. Okay? And we'll look at some of that here. So, becoming more spirit aware. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. He says, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Brother Hagin said this in his book on how to be led by the Spirit of God. If we are going to be led by the Spirit of God, we must become more spirit conscious, or we'll miss out on the whole thing. God's Spirit leads us through our spirits. Put spirit first. Become more spirit conscious, more conscious of the inward man. Realize that you are a spirit being and that you became a new creation created by God in Christ Jesus. It will help you grow spiritually. So you're going to have to make an intentional confession of this. I am a spirit. I possess a soul and I live in a body. I live in a body. If you just said that, you know, for a half hour a day, it would make all the difference in the world. Brother Hagin said this. He would drive down the road, and he'd have to drive it. He was driving it at night between meetings and stuff because it was cooler. And while he was driving down the road, he would say things. He would make confession. He'd just talk out loud quietly to himself. He'd say, God is more real to me than my wife. God is more real to me than this car. And people think about that and they think, well, that's kind of weird. No. Jesus knew his Father so well that he was so sensitive that in the most tumultuous or largest gatherings of people pressing around him, he was able to instantly hear from God. Just like that. Come on. How many of you have been in just a little situation? You know, the boat, you're not sinking in the boat with the disciples. You just have, you know, like one of your kids, you know, needs stitches or something. And you're trying to hear from God, and all you hear is wah, screaming and all that. You couldn't hear your spirit because why? Because we're more conditioned to out here than in here. Have you ever noticed that your mind can make as much noise as your hands and feet? It can. Did you know that if you get spiritually strong, you can make your mind just sit quiet? No, not a care. I'm talking about everything's going wrong and you're not worrying. People go, well, I just don't know if that's possible. You're not seeing who you are in Christ. Because Jesus didn't come to just show you he was God. He came to show you what he made you to be. That doesn't mean we get positions in the Trinity, you understand? There are no openings. But what Jesus came to reveal to you was what God the Father had designed you to be before Adam sinned. See, we were never designed to live in sin at all. Not even slightly. That was our own choosing. God didn't design us that way. God designed us to have fellowship with him. Does that make sense? God designed us to have fellowship with him. And people say, well, why is God so distant? Because people quit walking with him in the cool of the day. The Lord said this to me the other day. I don't even know what I was doing. I love it when he does this to me. He'll just interrupt my life. You know, I'm doing something, I'm working, or I'm not even thinking about spiritual things. He said, Sean, I never quit coming down in the cool of the day. Man just quit showing up. You can walk with him all day long. It's up to you. He's not, you know, he's as close as believing. He's as close as you. Does that make sense? See, he never quit. He never quit being God. The world got wrapped up in sin and selfishness and all the things that, you know, the enemy has. And so when you're spirit conscious and not body conscious or more natural conscious, you'll be more aware of God in every situation. I'll just put it to you like this. I knew a guy several years ago. Every time I got around him, I had to fight spiritually inside. You say, what do you mean by that? Is he just full of turmoil? He's full of rage. Now, he never raged out on me, but you can feel it in the air. It's like, it's thick. The closer you get to God, the more you recognize other things that are not God. And it was just, I hadn't been around this person for a while. And then, you know, a few months later or whatever, I showed up back around them and I walked into the place where they were and I went, something's changed. I mean, it was like, normally I'd have to fight just inside to keep that away from me, that anger, that rage, just keep it at bay in my heart. And I realized I've been walking around for a few minutes. I'm not fighting. Come to find out, the person had an encounter with God. And they had submitted to the Lord. And all of that just left. Peace was in the air now. And I'll tell you another one. This is a while back, but I had a situation where somebody was after me. They don't even really know me. They really have no reason. I mean, it's not like we hang out. But they were after me. They had decided that I was evil. And they were coming at me over and over and over again. And this was a unique situation. And so I didn't cause a scene. And then they tried to do something else to me. I'm not going to give you all the details. But they tried to do something else to me. And it dawned on me. And then they stopped because they realized they weren't going to be able to manipulate me into what they wanted me to do. You know, it's a dangerous thing to try and manipulate me. Just so you know. Because I will sit down in the middle of the road like an old mule. I mean, I'll just sit there and look at you and go ahead and try and push and see what happens. Because manipulation is of the devil. That's all I got to say. But anyway, this person tries, and then they kind of just backed off and didn't really do anything. And I was sitting there, and I finally just prayed. I said, Lord. He said, why don't you pray about it? Oh, yeah, duh. That's a good idea. So I just took authority over the spirit. It stopped instantly. And I said, not only that, you have to leave. And the person left. And then I said, not only that, you have to leave this house. They left the house. Why? Because it's spirit. It's a spiritual thing. Usually, for me, and you say, why are you sharing this stuff? I'm just trying to share stories with you to help you be aware of when it's happened to you. Because you've probably done it and you just don't realize it. If you're born again at all, you've done it and you don't realize it. There are times, I guess this is just for me. I wouldn't make a rule out of this. But usually I can tell what a person is like or what kind of state they're in within just a few minutes of being around them. Sometimes without them even saying a word. I can tell what the person is going to be like. Because whether you realize it or not, we all carry something spiritually, whether it be peace or turmoil, whether it be peace or depression, whether it be, and you say peace, yeah, God is peace, whether it be joy or frustration, we're all carrying something internally. We do. We just do. Because we're built that way. That's why Paul and the Lord and through the scriptures talks about resisting those things. And not allowing them in your life. Because you're a spirit, and those are spiritual things. All right, let's separate the spirit and the soul with the scripture. Let's go to Hebrews 4. There are two separate things. Now, if you've been raised in church at all, you may have had the spirit and the soul connected over and over again, because a lot of times people don't realize that they're separate. But if they were the same thing, then why did Paul say in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, I pray your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless? If the spirit is the soul, then the body is the soul. Do you understand what I'm saying by that? In other words, if you're going to combine one of them, you got to combine the other. But they're not. They're separate. They're all separate. And I'm going to show you another verse that says it. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of what? Soul and spirit. And of the joints. In the Aramaic, joints is bone. It's the word bone, okay? And what's the next word? Marrow. And is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now think about this. He just said, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit. And then he goes right into an illustration of what soul and spirit look like. What is it? Bone and marrow. So let me ask you this. How close is your bone to your marrow? They're wrapped, it's wrapped around, right? The bone is around the marrow, right? I wonder if the soul isn't just right around the spirit. Does that make sense? In other words, Brother Hagin used to say it like this: if my spirit was here, my soul's here. And that's why sometimes Christians have such a hard time discerning between their emotion and the spirit of God. It's because they're close. But the more spiritually strong you get, the more it'll separate. That's why knowing the word of God is so vital. If your mind is renewed to the word of God, then you'll recognize spiritual things a lot quicker than if it's not. Here's another one. If you pray in other tongues a bunch, it will help you be aware of your spirit, not your mind. Here's the reason why. Because praying in other tongues is a completely spiritual exercise. It involves nothing of the mind. Paul says, if I pray in the spirit, if I pray in other tongues, he said, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. That's why how many have been baptized in the Holy Spirit? Okay, have you ever prayed in other tongues and your mind's going, what are we doing? Why are you doing this? Do we got to do something else? The pot roast, the laundry. I got to put gas in the car. Change the oil. Why is that? Because your mind is unfruitful in the process. Now, if you're strong, you'll wait your mind out and your mind will shut up. And then your heart will teach your mind. And you'll begin to see things. But see, this is what has happened through the years. I mean, this is just the truth, okay? I mean, because everybody goes through this, but most of the church world has taught about the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, but they never taught them how to do it after that. They bring them up, lay hands on them, you know, pray for them. They start praying in other tongues. They go, you got it, brother. You got it, sister. Now go sit down. And people, you say, how do you know that? I was in the Assemblies of God for years. I met people that were baptized in the Holy Ghost. They prayed in other tongues like 30 years ago and never again. And they missed 30 years of spiritual growth in that area. Because they just thought, what is the point of this? They were never taught. And the scripture has tons to say about it. But they were just never taught how. It's praying on a level that the enemy hates. That's why he fights it so much. It's like, I don't want them praying in that language. It's perfect that way. Because your head can't get in the way. You know, if I'm praying for Rick, doesn't matter what I think about him if I'm praying in other tongues. If I'm mad at him, I might pray something in English I'm not supposed to. But if I'm praying in other tongues, it's all good. Because you know it's God's language, not mine. I can't give my opinion. You know what I mean? So, praying in the Spirit is one way to do that, but it separates soul and spirit. I think this is the Passion Translation, I'm not sure. But it says, "For we have the living word of God, which is full of energy, and it pierces more sharply than a two-edged sword. It will even penetrate to the very core of our being, where soul and spirit, bone and marrow meet." I like that translation. So we see in this translation that the soul and the spirit are separate, but they're as close as bone and marrow. Our souls must wrap around our spirits like our bone is around our marrow. In other words, they're close. So I misquoted this scripture just a second ago, but 1 Corinthians 14:14, Paul said this, "For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful." So here, listen to this in the Amplified. I love this. The Amplified on this verse does a great job of explaining it. "For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit by the Holy Spirit within me prays." I love that translation. You say, why is that? Go back to Romans 8. Turn to Romans 8. I see this principle right here. It's so clear to me. Hopefully we can make it clear to you. Romans 8, verse number 16. Paul said, "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." In the Amplified, it says, "The Spirit himself thus testifies together with our own spirit, assuring us that we are children of God." 1 Corinthians 14:14 in the Amplified, stay where you're at. "For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit," what? "By the Holy Spirit within me." Do you see that? Do you see what he said? You say, why are you bringing those two together? Spirit and Holy Spirit. Spirit and Holy Spirit. They're what? Conducting together. So there's the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit comes into you when you're born again. Did you know that? Obviously, yes. You're born again. The Holy Spirit now is one with your spirit. And when that happens, according to Romans 8:16, what do we see? We see that the Holy Spirit says, yes, you're born again. He testifies with you that you're now a child of God. You know it in your own heart. But then Paul goes on to say, after you are born again, the Spirit is within you. But there's another experience beyond that called the baptism of the Holy Spirit, where the Spirit of God comes upon you. But then he relates it in 1 Corinthians 14:14 in the Amplified, we read that what? "When I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit by the Holy Spirit within me prays." So he's witnessing together with. Look at this. This is cool. Romans 8:16, you're in the kingdom. 1 Corinthians 14:14, you're praying the kingdom out. So you're not just walking in the gate. I mean, that's the best. I mean, there's no greater miracle than being born again, okay? It's the best, okay? But beyond that, Paul said, not only did the Spirit of God witness with me that I was a child of God, then later on I learned how to let the Holy Spirit pray through me. My prayers are super effective. Like Elijah the prophet effective. People go, oh. Jesus said this, "The least in the kingdom of God is greater than John the Baptist." The least. Why? John the Baptist wasn't born again. He got killed before Jesus. So he couldn't be, right? I mean, stands to reason, right? Until Jesus raises from the dead, nobody's getting saved. And if you get killed before Jesus does, well, you're just going to hang out in Abraham's bosom until it all gets done. Yeah, and then you get to go. When Jesus, I mean, it wasn't long after that, but, you know, John didn't have to hang out long. But Abraham's place was nice while he was waiting for Jesus to show up after he whooped the devil. But you are a spirit. So when you're praying another, don't let your mind, if you're praying in other tongues, don't let your mind wander. You say, stop it, mind, get back here. We're focusing right here. And don't quit. You'll get answers. You'll find answers. that you can't get any other way. You can't get any other way. So, we see a separation of the soul and the spirit through those verses. Now, let's look at what we have to do with our soul. The saving, renewing, or restoring of the soul. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Verse number 21 says this, "Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls." Wow, saving of the souls. Can I ask you something? Was James written to Christians?
Yeah, it was.
All the epistles were written to churches. They're written to Christians. So James is writing to Christians, and he's telling them that they need to have their souls saved. So if your soul is your spirit, then this is messed up. There's got to be a separation. Paul said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. That is your spirit. If your soul needs saved, what is your soul? That's your mind, will, and emotions. And what needs to be, how is that saved? You have to have the word of God, what? Implanted into your mind. Okay? Implanted into your mind. And that's what James is saying here. Now he says this. He says, receive with meekness. I looked up the word meekness. You know what it means? Gentleness and humility. Listen to this. Another translation of this word. Without disputing or resisting. You know how many people I've met that are Christians? They are born again. But there are certain passages of Scripture that they will not approach without disputing and resisting them. So guess what will not happen in their mind if they have that attitude toward the Word of God? There will be no renewal in that area. What will happen? The enemy will rob them in that area. Guaranteed. Why? If you're going to resist the renewal, that God has nothing to work with. So meekness is important. When we read the word, when we approach the word, we don't go to it and go, now it's okay to read the word and go, well, I don't understand that, Lord. That's one thing. But I don't know if you've noticed, the Lord was dealing with me about this today too. Have you ever noticed there's two ways to ask a question? Have you ever noticed in Jesus' ministry, I may do a series on this someday because our church is full of it today and the world. Nothing has changed. The devil is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Forever he is the same. Okay? But anyway, have you noticed this? In Jesus' ministry, there were those that came to him and asked him questions and received answers. And then there were those that came to him that asked questions with ulterior motives. But they tried to shade them like they were real nice questions. Have you ever noticed? Have you ever had somebody do that to you? You're more spiritual than you think. You're picking it up in your heart. You know what I've done at times, which has gotten me in trouble, so I don't recommend it, unless you are able to handle it. I've just asked the question back to the person. You know, Jesus looked at a group of people, and they said something to him, and he said, "Why do you guys want to kill me?" There was nothing mentioned of murder in the whole conversation. If you ever want to freak somebody out, and they all got defensive, what? And they looked, listen to this, they look at Jesus and say, "You have a devil." Come on. They look at the Son of God, the one who spoke them into existence, and tell him he has a devil. Because he knows their hearts. He recognizes what's going on. Have you ever had somebody come to your door? Have you ever been in a situation? Have you ever had your car, took your car to a mechanic? Now, I'm not talking about the spirit of suspicion. Okay? Not talking about that. But you just feel like something's not right here. You're probably right. And you should follow that. And just kind of walk away. Say, you know what? Thanks for your time. I'll just take my vehicle somewhere else. You can do that, you know. You live in a country where you can do that. Hitler is not our leader. Mussolini's not. Joseph Stalin, none of those guys. We have a free, we can make the choices based on our spirit. And let me just say this, you don't have to tell anybody why you're doing it. You know, sometimes people are like, well, you know, you have to give it, tell me why you're doing what you're doing. You just look at them and say, I don't have to tell you why. Anytime anybody gets pushy on me that way, I will push back. And usually it just ends the conversation, you know. But you don't have to give an explanation for every little thing you do. With your kids, you don't have to give an explanation for every little thing you do. They are your kids. You are the parent. Sometimes you got to remind parents they're the parent. You ever notice that? Kids like get, my kids, I'm pretty sure they're all going to be lawyers. or aspiring lawyers. Especially Ian these days. He's really into it. Well, Dad. Just sit down and be quiet. You have to receive with meekness, without disputing or resisting the word of God, in order for it to transform your mind. Okay? So transformation of the mind by reading the word is not automatic. It depends on your attitude coming. So when you see something that you don't understand, don't go, well, Lord, I don't understand why that's in there anyway. You go, Lord, show me. What does this mean? What do you mean by this? How come I'm not seeing this right? A principle that'll help you, always stay on God's side. Just as a general rule, okay? No matter if you don't understand the circumstance, you don't understand why things happened the way they did, always stay on God's side. Well, it doesn't make sense. Well, there's a lot we don't know. There's a reason why God calls us his little children. And it doesn't even matter if you've been saved for 55 years. Compared to God, we don't know much. Okay, we just don't. We're not gonna. On this side of the of eternity, we're not. We're not going to know. We'll know enough to live close to him. And then there's some things you're just not going to understand. And you just need to go, Lord, the secret things belong to you. And I'm moving on with you because you love me and you're my father. And I'm moving forward and I don't care about what happened. I'm letting it go. I'm not going to get bitter, offended, or unforgiving toward God. You know, people have told me before that, you know, they have unforgiveness toward God. For what? I do not understand that principle at all. If you understand who God is, and if he is who he says he is, now if you begin to alter your mind and allow thoughts of the enemy to come in and allow the enemy to cloud your vision of who God is, and all of a sudden now you have this image of God that is not according to his word, but it's according to what the enemy has fed you or circumstances or people or, you know, sometimes people feel like they have to give an answer. You know, you'll find somebody in a tragic situation. They'll come to another believer, or they're not a believer, and they'll ask questions like, well, why did God let this happen? Are you sure God did? And do you think it's possible that God knows a whole lot more about the situation than you do? And until you come to God with meekness, without disputing and resisting, you'll never see the situation properly anyway. You never will. I've seen lots of new doctrines invented. Now, the implanted word, it means a word whose property is to root itself like a seed in the heart. I love that. Now, that's not a scripture. That's a definition from, I think it's Vines. Yeah, it is Vines. It's a word whose property is to root itself like a seed, and we would say in this case, in your mind. You want to fill your mind full of the seed of the word, amen? You do. So here we see in a passage of scripture that tells us that we are to receive the word of God with meekness, and that it can engraft or implant into our soul and save it. Now, as we look at these two words and their definitions, we see that if we do not have a meek and humble heart before the Lord's words, then our souls will be hard ground, and the seed that is designed to be implanted will not take root. I have seen this many times. People who say they want change in their lives, and you give them the scriptures that will help them, and they immediately start to argue against them. How many have experienced that? Well, yeah, the Bible says that he hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but I don't feel like it. And you're never going to, because you're not submissive to what God has said to you. Amen. Do you see that? It is that simple. I know Kylie has a friend at school that made a statement. Well, I wish this wasn't in the Bible. Okay, what else are we taking out? How about John 3:16? Do you not want that one in there anymore either? Humanity is geared this way. If you don't watch yourself, your flesh will make decisions about your belief system that it never should be allowed to make. See, sometimes people think, I feel like, and it's true, they feel like faith is like a selection process. Or that it should be somehow feel good. Faith, by nature, goes against your feelings. It is designed to, faith is such a way that you have to make a decision against and for something else. It's designed that way. You have to choose which one you're going to go with. You have choice. You have free will. God will not have it any other way. I've had people just make statements to me like, well, if God really loved us, then there wouldn't be a devil. God didn't create the devil. God created an angel who decided to rebel. Well, he never would have let us make a bad decision. I find it amusing. But then I asked this gentleman who said this to me, I said, let me ask you a question. You're married, right? Yeah. I said, do you want your wife to love you because she has to or because she wants to? Well, that ended the whole argument. I mean, it just totally deflated. Who wants somebody loving you because they have to? Well, I don't really like them, but I have to love them, so when I said I do, I guess I did. Till death do us part. Yeah, hope they die soon. You don't, that is, God's the same way. If you don't want to love him, it hurt. How many have been hurt before because somebody you'd think would love you, but they don't? I mean, what's not to love? I really, you know? You know what I mean? But you've been, somebody said, you know, I just don't love you anymore or whatever. That hurts. But you don't, God doesn't want somebody, well, I guess I have to. I have no choice. Love is a choice. And he wants people that choose to love him. Amen? He chooses to love us. Do you think we ever give him opportunity to not be lovable? if some people, if all their brains was dynamite, and it went off all at once, it wouldn't be enough power to blow their nose. That's good Southern. If you resist God in any area of your life, you will automatically submit to the devil in that area, whether it be through ignorance or rebellion. You just will. If you submit to God, you'll automatically resist the devil. You don't even have to try. You just go, sorry, devil, I already submitted to God. We're done. The Passion Translation says it this way. So this is why we abandon everything morally impure and all forms of wicked conduct. Instead, with a sensitive spirit, we absorb God's word, which has been implanted within our nature. For the word of life has the power to continually deliver us. The mirror says this, get rid of any remaining residue of evil that polluted your life before. Don't you like that? Get rid of any remaining, I mean, go through your mind and just start opening the closets and then turn the water of the word on it. We got to hose this thing out. Look at that. That's terrible. That's horror movies from 1990. You know, Freddy Krueger. And what was the other guy with the mask? The chainsaw? Jason, yeah. We got to get that out of there. It says, welcome with sensitive embrace the word that powerfully conceives salvation in your soul. Welcome with sensitive embrace, that would be meekness, the word that powerfully conceives or implants or roots salvation in your soul. Your spirit is saved. You're going to heaven when you die. But your soul on this earth must be renewed to the word of God. It must be saved. If the word of God, as the word of God penetrates your mind and your mind renews to the word of God, then you have this beautiful process of two things aligning, your mind and your spirit. And I'll just tell you this, a spirit and a mind that are together, which you renew your mind, God doesn't do it for you, you do it, you have to do something with your mind. If you don't do something with your mind, nobody, God's not going to do it. God's not going to make you read the Bible. You're not going to wake up in the morning going, oh, how did I get here reading my Bible? That's not going to happen, okay? You're going to wake up and just be reading through Romans. God's like, I got to do something, you won't get up. You know, that's not how it works. You have to do something with your mind. It's your responsibility. If people treated their minds like they do their vehicles, some people. I got to find the thing that you love. That's what it is. If people treated their minds the way they do the thing they love in the natural. You know, some people follow their car around with a dust cloth. I got to clean this again. If they treated their mind that way, it'd be a different situation in their lives. You have to have that connection. That connection has got to be made. I'm going to put the word of God in my mind. It's going to renew my mind. I'm going to trust the Lord. I'm going to get my mind in line with my spirit. Romans 12:2 says this, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Transformed. The word renew is renovation. It means renovation. It means complete change for the better. It means adjustment. I love this. Adjustment to the mind of God. Isn't that great? I'm renewing my, what are you doing with your mind? I'm adjusting it to the mind of God. Psalms 23:3 says, he restores my soul. I love that verse. He restores my soul. The word restore means to pull in again. Sometimes you got to grab your brain and go, you ain't going that way. What are you thinking? You know? It means to recover, refresh, relieve. It means to rescue. It means to retrieve. I like that, retrieve. You know, sometimes people's minds are like a dog that ran off without a leash. You got to go retrieve it. Where is your mind? You know, people walk around, I lost my mind. I look at people when they say that and go, well, it's your mind. You better find it. And why did you let it go? You control your mind. The inner man is greater. And the word of God, those two, and your mind renewed, I'm telling you, you're going to dominate your world. And I'm not telling you all your problems are going to go away. I'm telling you, you're going to sail through them because with a renewed mind and an empowered, resurrected heart, you're in a good place. One last definition of this word restore, to set again. Our minds need to be set again after we are born again. When a person has a broken bone, the doctor will set that bone so it can heal. They align the bone together in order to cause it to heal straight. Our minds need alignment after we get saved so we can live straight. What did Paul say? Set your mind on things above. I heard one guy say it this way. He said, like a TV remote, you set your mind to the word of God and throw the remote away. Why? So you can't change the channel. Nobody's getting up off the couch to change the channel anyway anymore. You know, if you want to find out how spiritual you are, just let the batteries run out on your remote. Just, you know, let something go wrong. You know, like, I had a test the other day. I was working with an automatic taper. It was a bazooka. And the thing kept jamming when I go to cut that tape. And I'm like, what is going on? And I'm like, well, no, you got to, you know, you walk in love with the bazooka, Sean. You know, but I know, I can't get frustrated because I'm not frustrated. I have a spirit of peace. I don't have a spirit of frustration. And I thought, just look at it. And so, Lord, well, there's a piece on there that has a spring that pulls that blade. You pull on it and that spring comes through and there's a blade that cuts that tape every time. And that spring was loose. There's a nut that holds it down. So that blade wasn't falling back all the way. So I'd go to run again and that tape was just crumpling up inside there, caught on that razor blade. And I went, oh, right there. And I pulled it down, tightened it, had it, turned in the bazooka today, got done with the job already. But all I had to do was calm down and listen to my, yeah. Don't get frustrated. Why? You're spiritual. You're mature. People say, well, I don't know how mature I am. Stop with that. And identify with God. You'll never be mature until you identify with God and stop identifying with who your personality type is. Somebody the other day, you're a type A. Don't type me. I am dead. My old man died and I'm alive in Christ. Now I may be a person, I have a specific personality that's to me. I may be a goer. I may like to go. You can call it psychology, this, that, or the other thing. But my old man died. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. I'm brand new. And my identity is found in Him. Above Scotland, Ireland, Denmark, Norway, any of those things. I am not more proud of my natural lineage than I am of who I am in the kingdom of God in Jesus Christ. That will never happen. I like it. It's cool. Except for the kilts. That's not very cool. Yeah, something. Whoever thought of that? What were they thinking? You know what I mean? But our identity is in Christ. We are spirits. We possess souls. Next week, we'll hit what we're supposed to do with our body. And then it gets really great because we'll start getting into how to be led every single day. And just allowing the Spirit of God within you. And I'll just give you a hint. It's not by dreams and visions. I'll just tell you this, and I wrote this on my Facebook post today. The primary way that God leads His children is through the inward witness. It is not through the prophet's ministry. It is not through dreams and visions. It is not through prophecies. I've been in services and meetings where people have come through and prophesied everything under the sun, and I'm going, none of this is right. Or maybe a little bit of it was. And I want to go back and find those people 12 years later or 10 years later and go, how much of it came to pass? And they're going, I don't know. Yeah, because it wasn't God. You say, there's not that genuine thing. I have had dreams from God before. Dreams that were tangible. You know what I mean? God was in the room. I could share experiences with you that I've had, but listen to me. I never look for those things when I go to make a decision. When we went to start this church, inward witness. When I married Heidi, inward witness. How many kids we're going to have? Inward witness. Go to Rhema, inward witness. Not a choir of angels didn't come down from heaven and sing in multiple part harmony. Thou shalt go to Rhema. And I'm like, God? None of that happened. None of that ever happened. Inward witness. Bought my truck because of an inward witness. Bought my house because of an inward witness. That's it. Bought this building because of an inward witness. Why? That's the primary way. You say, well, what if that other stuff happens? Praise God. Judge it by the word. And if you have an inward witness about it, then go ahead and follow it. I don't care if Jesus, supposedly Jesus Christ shows up and tells you something, if it's contrary to the Word of God, you throw it out. You throw it out. And I'll just be honest, most people are not going to experience a ton of spectacular things like that in their life. And anybody, I'll just tell you this, anybody that's running around saying they're having visions every week, I'd question it big time. What's one of my favorite ministries? I'd be very careful. Because I'll be honest, God doesn't operate like that. I went to a school where the man of God, and I know I'm over, but I'm just going to share this because you're all hooked in right now. I went to a school where the man of God that was over it stood in the prophet's ministry, probably at the forefront of it as far as his generation before he passed away. And he was a teacher and a prophet. He was both. And people say, they're prophets today. Absolutely, they're prophets today. We'll have to talk about it sometime. They're just not like they used to be in the Old Testament, okay? But absolutely, there's prophets today. And he stood at the head of the prophet's ministry, and the Lord appeared to him 8 times in his ministry, 8 or 9 times, something like that. I don't remember exact. And the last time the Lord appeared to him was in the 50s, and the Lord told him, I'm never going to appear to you like this again. And he explained to Brother Hagin the prophet's ministry, and he explained to Brother Hagin how to teach Christians how to be led by the Holy Spirit. And he said, and I'll read it later on in the book, but he talks to Brother Hagin about some decisions that he was going to make for his ministry. And then he looked at him and he said, I'm never going to lead you like this again. You're just going to have to follow the inward witness like every other believer. And I'll tell you this, Brother Hagin did not come in every week because I had him every week in class. Okay, I had him teach my class. He was 83 years old and he could still get her done. At 83 years old, he'd still tell the same stories, same points, same scriptures. I mean, you could quote it almost. I know where he's going next. He was just that way. And he did not come in every week and go, I had a vision this afternoon. You know what he did? Open your Bibles. And then he'd come in the next week, open your Bibles. And then he'd come in, open your Bibles. And I'll just tell you, we saw amazing things in those services. But you know what we saw mostly? Open your Bibles. Yeah, open your Bibles. And he just taught the word. And we experienced some amazing, you know, power of God, anointing of God, and moves of the Spirit. But for the majority of the time, the prophet's ministry, I was even in his meeting when he started prophesying through like 2006. I was sitting there watching it. But the majority of the services were not prophecy services. They were teaching the Word of God. And any ministry that you are connected to outside of this one, let me just warn you, if they're a prophet or an apostle or anything like that, any of those gifts, if they are not primarily teaching the Word of God first, I would watch them like a hawk and be very careful. Because we are in an era right now where God is resurrecting some of these ministries and like the gifts, like the apostle and prophet. But whenever that happens, the enemy always throws out a ton of frauds. Always. And you say, what's going to happen with that? Well, I'll just let you in on a little secret. There'll eventually be judgment and the ones that aren't true are going to be cleaned. It'll happen. You say, how do you know? It happens all the time. That's how God does it. He's just clean. Yeah. They're not going to follow me. They're not going to do what I ask them to do. He'll clean the slate. Amen? So just be careful. Be careful. Because it's out there. And I've watched people follow prophecies and their lives are a mess. Because all they do is follow prophecies from somebody. Don't do it. It's like the prayer meeting that happened. I could tell you stories all night if you let me. Maybe you ought to just get up and walk out. No. It's like the prayer meeting that happened. It was supposedly a prayer meeting. All it was a prophecy meeting. And this lady came to Brother Hagin. You say, how do you know all this? Because Brother Hagin told story after story after story after story. And these are all, he's in heaven. He's been in heaven since 2003. Yeah. And he would tell us, and I'm looking at today's society and the church world today, and I'm going, he told us a story about that. He told us a story about that. He told us a story. That's why I avoid it like the plague. Because I know where it goes. He told us.
But he said this. He said, this lady came up to him and said, I'm kind of concerned about our prayer meeting. And he goes, well, what do you mean? She says, it's really not a prayer meeting. It's a prophecy meeting. And he said, well, what are they saying? She said, well, one of them said, my husband was going to die in 3 months. That was 6 months ago. I guess we know where that prophecy came from. One time they were in a meeting and said, one of the people didn't show up, and somebody stood up and said, thus saith the Lord, so-and-so is not showing up today. And then they heard a car pull in and gravel start to crackle, and the person stood up real quick and said, thus saith the Lord. I guess they decided to come anyway. Okay. I think they're missing it. This is where stuff gets off. Like we have a church, and one person stands up on one side and says, thus saith the Lord, and da 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 da. And then another person stands up and goes, thus saith the Lord, I didn't say that. Yeah, I guess. We have to know the word. Okay, we have to know the word. Somebody gave a prophecy one time. Thus saith the Lord, it's okay if you're afraid, because I get afraid sometimes too. No, he doesn't. That's like saying God took a nap. The Bible says he never sleeps nor slumbers. God doesn't take naps, and nor does he get afraid. Can you imagine? What's going on down there? Don't look. It's scary. Don't tell me, Gabriel. I don't want to know. I just don't want to know today. I can't handle it. That's not God. Yeah. So anyway, we're going to learn how to be led by the Spirit and get balanced to these things. Amen? All right. God bless you guys. We'll see you Sunday.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.